Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. Today we remember one of the world's greatest violinists, Stefan Grappelli. 2008 marks the centennial of this amazing man, and we'll celebrate with an encore broadcast from 1990.
I'm just so thrilled to have you come over and do the show, Stefan.
Thank you very much to invite me.
You know, we were at the concert last night, and that's one of the most exciting things I have ever seen. And hearing all that gorgeous music, and I just wrote down all kinds of things, and I'm thinking he plays with such joy and vigor and excitement. It was just wonderful.
I'm very pleased to play that music, which permit me to improvise, because as I told you, I played that music for such a long time. One could be tired of it, but with jazz, it's an eternal recommencement. I don't know if you understand that word.
Yes, I do, like every time is different.
Different, every day I play, of course I play the same music, but the development change in spite of me, every time I'm doing the next concert.
Well, that's what's so wonderful about jazz. Well, but you started probably playing the classics.
Never, but no, I have not the chance to have a teacher. But
you just learned by ear. You didn't have a method. You just taught yourself to play.
Oui, like those people, like Django Reinhardt. Django Reinhardt never have a note of music in front of him. And Errol Garner, I have the pleasure to play with him. He had never a note of me, he didn't know. And but the only thing I learned, that was to read music, because when I was 15, I get the chance to get a job in a silent picture. And I was obliged to read music. So, as a matter of fact, I catch quite fast to read. You know, when you are young, you understand quick, you know, if you are open for it, of course. But as I want absolutely play, I was lucky to learn quite fast, you know. But the only person who don't improvise last night was that great cellist, the American Rostropovich, if I can say, Yo-Yo Ma, which is a wonder. And he played very well the Tagarag, who joined us at the time, and he was so enthusiastic to do that, it was a surprise. And even that great violinist who came to see us, Isaac Stern.
Isaac Stern, yes, I saw him.
He was so very pleased to be there with us.
But the amazing thing is none of these people can improvise, and you can. I mean, you're just there all reading everything. And you're sailing around.
That's what I tell you. The only thing I learned is to read music. And I was obliged last night to play the arrangement, the difficult arrangement of Roger Calloway.
I saw that. But they were quite hard. And I was
We had a lot of rehearsal for that.
I was so admiring of that.
No, because it was so precise and so difficult. It was mostly, as the program says, Cole Porter music.
Yes.
And I'm sure if he was still alive, he will be quite pleased to have listening to that.
Oh, the selection of the pieces was wonderful. But there's one that you mentioned a minute ago. Would you want to play something that you and I could maybe try something together?
Very well.
What did you say? The third movement of Penis from Heaven?
The third movement of Penis from Heaven.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay.
Thank you. I love to play with you.
Let's do another one real fast before we...
What's about what?
You played some fantastic slow tunes last night. You know, the repertoire was so... All the people were kind of smiling because they know all the songs. So what could we do? What else could we do? Like a ballad, pretty tune.
Willow Weep For Me.
Oh, yes.
Because that goes well with the piano and the violin.
Yes. Shall I do a little intro?
Little introduction.
Little introduction.
Oh, yes.
It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
It really all comes together nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I never dreamed when years ago I was living in England and at home, you know, listening to the radio, and I would turn on the Hot Club of France every time it was on. I never dreamed I'd be sitting here with you and we'd actually be playing together.
So do I.
I can't believe it. It's wonderful.
So do I, and I'd like to do that again with you.
You want to do another number? I've got to catch you while you're hot and everything is happening, you know.
Anything.
Let's keep going.
Yes.
All right. What would you like to do?
Do you like I've Got Rhythm?
Sure. I've Got Rhythm. I've Got
Not Too Fast.
I've Got...
Dun, 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 dun,
sure. What key?
Dun, 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 Gino.
Yep.
It's good for the violin, you know.
Yeah, okay.
You do 4 bar?
Sure.
Or 8 bar?
8 bars.
8 bar, that's better.
I was thinking, some of the tunes you did, I was thinking you might do that right then. You went into other keys all the time. It was wonderful. Like, you'd start out in G, you did Fascinating Rhythm, and you did... That was so terrific. But I was, you know, I was almost gonna waiting for you to do that there. On I've Got Rhythm. This is so much fun. I guess we should let people know what's going on here if they haven't already guessed. My guest today is Stefan Grappelli. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. Want to do another one?
Yeah.
All right.
Anything you like.
All right.
Do you know, I can't believe that you are in love with me.
Oh, sure.
C'est joli.
Sure.
I like this tune because I remember when I was very young, for every day I put that record on. It was a 78 tour. It was Louis Armstrong singing that with such a feeling, you know. I couldn't understand a word in English, what he said, but I feel something. And it was a marvelous tenor sax there, that tune. I can't remember the name, but it was only Louis Armstrong and his band, you know. It was marvelous. I have a good souvenir of that tune.
Well, was that one of, like, some of your influences to learn jazz? Would it be people like that?
I'm sure. Well, mind you, I was playing jazz before the record of Armstrong arrived in Paris. But when it was a great great surprise for me when I heard his name for the first time. And may I tell you something? We have a marvelous Minister of the Culture in Paris now, and we asking him to put a plaque, a marble plaque, on a very small hotel near where I used to live. Louis Armstrong, it was the first time he came in Paris in 1932. He was not in the Ritz or the Meurice or the, you know, one of those hotels. He was in a very small hotel in near Montmartre, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And we would like to oppose, with the permission of the ministry, with a plaque where the Louis Armstrong used to live in that small hotel in a small street in Paris. And I'm sure they will accept to do that.
You're going to do it. You're going to be a part of that.
Oh, yes, definitely. I've got the idea to do that, and I want to do it.
What a wonderful idea, though.
Yes.
But you were there. I mean, did you hang out with Louis, spend time with him while he was there?
I was practically every day. Of course, he stayed about two weeks in Paris. And he's an older one who was very interested with him. And as a matter of fact, Hugues Panassier, if you know the name.
Oh, yes, sure, of course. Critic.
He was devoted to Louis Armstrong. And he did a lot for Louis when he was in Paris, you see, because it was his idol, you know, mm-hmm. musically and as a man. And that was good for the people like Armstrong, you know, to be well-known.
Of course. And
I hope to be there one day. Unveil the plaque
for
Louis Armstrong,
because
not only that will honor Louis Armstrong, but all his brother as well.
Well, and it's sort of an honor for jazz as the music too, isn't it? Oh, that's so great!
And those people, those black artists, who really invented that music.
Well, are you going to play it? Will you think you'll play it? That when they do that, you'll play something.
Oh, maybe we'll be in the street.
Hey, let's play something.
Maybe, oh, I'm sure we will play something.
What would you play for Louis? I mean, if you were thinking of a tune for Louis Armstrong, what would you play?
Well,
you want to do I Can't Believe?
I dare to tell you.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm in love with you.
Too much.
Thank you.
It's wonderful.
Are you in love with me?
I'm in love with, I've been in love with you for a long time. And, well, you seem to get pleasure out of playing everywhere you go. And you play with so many different people. I mean, you played with Phil Woods. I heard a record you made with Phil Woods.
Yes, he's a great, he's such a great musician. And he's man, so kind.
Oh, yes.
Well, then I played with Oscar Peterson, which is a monster on the piano, you know.
Who?
Oscar Peterson.
Oh, I know you did one with Oscar.
I did three records with him, and we did two or three concerts together, and it's always good fun, you know.
Of course.
Well, who else? I play with all the guitarists existing today, except Django Reinhardt, who passed away. Joe Pass, which is so marvelous. The pianist, with a lot of violinists, too.
Joe Venuti years ago, didn't you?
The first one was in 1937 when he visited Paris for the exhibition with Eddie South.
Oh, they called him the dark angel of the violin.
Because of the Club de France, they managed to get him to do a record. And it was another violinist, maybe you know him, Ray Nance,
yes, sure. Jean-Luc Ponty?
Jean-Luc Ponty, but before I played with another phenomenon from Chicago.
Not Joe Venuti?
No, oh, I played with him too, because we did a little tour in Italy.
Did you?
And with Duke Ellington Orchestra. It was really a great honor for me to be invited by Duke. But he engaged as well Joe Venuti. In Italy, we have a tremendous success because the people thought we were Italian, you see. And so they were so pleased about that. And the one I want to tell you is Staff Smith.
Of course.
Which one of the greatest swing musicians I heard in my life. Of course, there is Jean-Luc Ponty, which invented a new style on the violin. You must recognize that. Every week, I have a letter from a young man. I'm a violinist. I like to play jazz. You can't believe the amount we got in France now.
Well, when you get the letters from these people saying, I'm a violinist and I want you to hear me, and do you
they
reply?
They send me a cassette.
Do you listen?
Of course. I will be dishonored if I didn't do it. I do it, and we write to them with Joseph, my friend, and we answer everybody. Because we don't want to deceive everybody. But sometimes I can't invite everybody, you know, to play.
Of course you can't.
And I'm very sorry, but I can't do it. So, for instance, that concert we gave for my 80th birthday in Paris, it was incredible. We were six violins there. Those three young men I mentioned. Then Sven Asmussen, who came from Denmark, and Didier Lockwood, who did the solo. And we were six violinists. It was a great, la grande fête des violinistes.
You know, somebody told me that years ago you performed with Bricktop.
Oh, I used to know her. The last time we played, that's where I knew in 1937, Eddie South.
She had a club, didn't she?
In Paris for 3 months. She managed to get a room somewhere. You know, Bricktop was the queen of a nightclub. Everybody goes there. I remember one evening with three kings there, you know. And everybody, Bricktop and Mabel Mercer.
Oh, Mabel Mercer, yes, I know.
And because of Mabel Mercer, we got practically every night visit of Cole Porter. If I remember...
Cole Porter came to the club?
Oh, all the time. He brings some music. He brings the... I've Got You Under My Skin, to be sung by Mabel Mercer. And I have the honor to be at the piano, to accompany her. Do you know a tune, Looking at You?
Sure.
It is the first composition by Cole Porter.
Yeah,
I was told it was his first composition. Looking at you.
There's so many tunes, you know, we've got to get you to play.
George Gershwin, Visit Paris, too.
You played a couple of nice Gershwin tunes.
Beautiful.
You played Someone to Watch Over Me.
Yes, yes.
Could we do that?
Yes. What's about in D?
Sure.
One chorus ad libitum.
All right.
Huh?
Okay.
you will watch over me now.
While I was doing that, I was thinking to myself, how did you learn all these tunes?
Well, you know, we used to play, you know, American music was a great success before the war in France. It was the only music we have, like today, the rock music and all that. But in those days, that was the music we used to play for dancing. And I remember it was a different approach. For instance, that tune, you know the way they used to play that? They used to play like that.
There was a band in England that played that, Charlie Coons.
Oh, yeah, the pianist.
Remember? And they had and everything they did was in strict tempo like that.
Strict tempo. He was at the Palladium while Arthur, Tatum was playing in a dreadful club in London and nobody listening to him.
Oh, how terrible.
Ça, c'est la vie. C'est la vie.
In case you've just tuned in, my guest today is Stefan Grappelli. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. When are you going to play some piano for us now? Are you going because
now,
because I was in a club a few years ago and you had Diz Dizley with you.
Oh yes,
Diz Dizley. You had Brian Torf on bass,
and
John Eldridge.
Oh,
that group. And I came to see you in Long Island, and this is when I first heard you play piano. You sat down, you played some wonderful things at the piano.
Not like you, but I do my best.
So will you play some piano for us?
If you like. Maybe I can play that tune I was telling you, the first tune of Cole Porter.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Looking, yes.
Well, I will do my best. Now, playing after you, you make me nervous.
Oh, please, Stefan. It's called Looking...
Looking at You.
Looking at You.
And I was told it's the first compositor, the first composition by that great composer.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure. That's what I was told. You like to hear it?
I'd love to hear it. Love to hear you play.
I will do my best.
You are amazing. You are amazing. Let's try. You think we could do a duet? You name a tune, and I'll see if I can just get in the...
Me too.
All right. Let's see. What was I thinking of? Anything goes, right?
That's that. Anything goes, huh?
Right. Okay. That was great. Now that I have a chance to really hear you at the piano, hear you on the violin, I'd love to compose a little something like a portrait of Stefan.
Can I do that? Yeah, like,
totally,
please.
Totally, just something, my impression.
I'll be delighted.
All right, here goes.
Thank you.
Well, if really you did that for me, I'm very touched, really. It was a beautiful improvisation. How do you do all that?
I was thinking, like, different aspects of you yourself with this kind of, like, a free spirit and a very lively person and always playing to enjoy yourself and to make the people enjoy it. Isn't that your philosophy?
It is. You did that very well. And I tell you, I'm very touched.
Well,
and I hope you send me the tape of that. And that will be a good souvenir.
Oh, I will send you the tape.
From you and America.
I will indeed. How do you feel about trying another duet? You think we could do one more?
A duet on what?
On the piano?
Yes.
So what will we do? Shine.
Yes.
You like that too? I like that. Okay. How should we do it? You want to just...
You do.
What tempo? Okay. All right.
I only do the accompaniment. Huh?
All right. Okay, well, this is our version of Shine. Of that tune for a million years, but that I used to play that years ago. Didn't Benny Goodman make? Maybe that's the first time I heard it.
I'm strong too.
In case you're wondering what's going on here, I'm having an absolutely fabulous time with my guest, who is Stefan Grappelli. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz. To play a beautiful tune, which you still do. Nuage. Oh, I love that. And you played it with the quintet, didn't you?
I played that so many times, then I prefer to forget that this morning.
But it's funny, do you play it, because you played it in your program last night, do you play it because you still like the tune, or is it a combination of thinking people want to hear that?
I think so, because there is a lot of people remember the Hot Club de France, you see. And as you know, there was some people at a certain age who remember those days.
Yeah, I'm that certain age too.
No, not you. You are an eternal printemps. You are la primavera.
That's like, you mean springtime.
It's yeah.
Primavera. Oh my God, I must remember that. But you know what? You don't have to play it, but I would like to play that tune myself. Is that okay?
Yes, please.
If I play Nuage?
Yes, do it for me.
Okay.
What I can say is you played that beautifully. And if Django Reinhardt could listening to you, he will be so pleased, I'm sure. He speak about you.
Really?
He knew you. Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Because he was amazed when a woman can play the piano like that. You know, in that world, a woman, the gypsy woman, is like in those oriental places that have no room, you see. He was so surprised when he listening to a good woman pianist.
Well, he
and
heard me.
He knew about you.
You
visited Paris many times, I know that.
Well, that, and also when he was in the States, when he was working for Duke Ellington,
yeah.
He came to Chicago, and Jimmy and I were playing in a club called the Capitol Lounge with the little traditional group, you know, and Django came in and spent the whole evening. In fact, he was late for the concert.
I know.
You know how he was. They had to come and find him. They had to come and fish him out of the club. But anyway, you talk about a woman player. What is really funny is Leonard Feather once said about me that I have no chance because I'm English, white, and a woman. He said, Leonard Feather says,
yeah, yeah.
But it hasn't hurt too much,
that.
Though.
You're right. Absolutely. Right.
But I don't know why women should be able to play.
He was always surprised. He told me, I can't believe a woman can play the piano like that. He thought it was a man instrument. Because, you know, when he was young, it was no TV. You know, those people, the gypsy. When I meet Django, he was 18, I was about 20. And he was living in a caravan and with a horse.
You mean really in a what they call a trailer over here?
Yeah, but
caravan. Yes.
62 years ago that I met him, and they were living in a caravan with a horse. You see, and those people were always near a river when they can fish.
You mean Django really
Django,
was a gypsy?
He's born there. He was not born in a house, you know. He's born in a caravan with a horse, you know.
It's fantastic. Mm. It's fantastic.
And that's why he didn't know much about the life. He started to go because he was playing somewhere. I was one of the first to know him because he came to see me first. I didn't know his existence. He came to see me in a club where I was playing. Because he heard about me playing some jazz music, and he liked that so much, you see. And in fact, when we did, if you want to know how it's the Hot Club start, when I see him years after, in 1933, we've been booked. I lost him, you see. He was with his caravan, me, I was doing my life in Paris. And 2-3 years later, we meet in the same place in the hotel in Champs-Élysées where we've been booked by a chef d'orchestre, and we found ourselves in that hotel. So we were playing there, and while the tango orchestra, in those days we got tango orchestra, he used to go behind the band stand because it was a little room for the banquet, you know, for the You know, in the hotel, they got some room for private dining
diner
like party.
Extra rooms, yes.
So he goes there because he knew it was a very comfortable armchair, you know, and he waits 20 minutes to go back to the stand, you know. And one day I break a string. And I don't want to change the string. The front of everybody, they were dancing and the orchestra, the tango play. So I went behind to change my string, and he was sitting there with his cigarette. I changed my string, and then I tune up, and he takes his guitar. And we start to play something like that.
And that's
to amuse ourselves. Dinah, Lady Be Good, all that sweet Georgia Brown, anything passing our head, you know.
Fantastic.
And he liked that so much. He said, oh, come on. Alors, every time the orchestra opposite was playing, we go behind, starting play Dinah. And all those tunes that empty for two.
And that's how he started.
One day his brother came along with his guitar. He was doing a gig somewhere.
He came along, he joined us.
And that's all start like that.
It's fantastic.
If I stay on the stand, to change my string.
if you hadn't done that,
then maybe it would be not Hot Club tonight.
And if I hadn't heard you there in Hatchets with Arthur Brown, maybe we wouldn't be sitting here today. I wouldn't be thinking the way it's too much to go into, you know, it's too profound to even discuss it. You want to play one more before we get through?
With
the violin.
Okay.
And you mentioned Lady Be Good. Let's do that.
Well.
Before we start this, I have to thank you for spending so much time with me today. You can't tell me I can't tell you how...
It's a great pleasure for me to be invited by a great artist like you.
But it's...
I hope you invite me next time when I will be in New York.
Are you serious? Would you come back and do this again?
I'd be delighted.
Oh, well, we've got a date. We just have to do it, Stefan. And thank you. And now let's play Lady Be Good.
Lady Be Good.
To wind it up.
Yes, thank you so much. Love to play with you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland and guest Stefan Grappelli, who was Marion's guest in 1990. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio.